Well, the approach, the hall, everything about the Eagles has been talked about with great interest in the local area, of course, here and among Eagles fans. Let's get a national perspective on just what the Eagles have accomplished during this free agency period and indeed this offseason. Let's go to NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell, who joins us in the studio. Greg, I trust you're having a wonderful offseason.
Well, Dave, I've been very focused on watching college players on tape, which I love to do at this time of year in preparation for the draft.
We will get to that. We will get to that. First, I want to ask you about free agency and the way the Eagles went about business last week. They signed eight players. They traded for a ninth wide receiver, really has been from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First, some general thoughts on what the Eagles did.
Well, the majority obviously were on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's a recognition by the organization that it's a unit that needs a lot of work and they need competition. And the one thing that I found interesting is that they didn't go after what you'd call a big name player to make a splash. They went after players who will provide competition, hopefully win jobs, and make them a better defense overall. I think they'll end up playing, Dave. You know, everybody gets caught up in 3-4-4-3. I think they'll end up playing a hybrid. They might have four guys with standing up in 2-point stances, but it might really be a 4-3 concept. That's really what Connor Barwin's used to playing anyway, because the Houston Texans defense was really a 4-3.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about big names. I guess I went into free agency not recognizing a lot of big names, impact players, franchise changing
Right.
kinds of. Is that the way you looked at it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the way it normally works, and there's exceptions every year, but big-time players, unless they're late in their career and it's an age and salary issue, the big-time players don't normally make it to the market. There are good players, obviously, but you don't normally get the big-time players. That's the Eagles are looking for competition. A new coaching staff always wants competition. They're starting with a clean slate.
All right, let's look at that Eagles secondary. Looks like a total revamping in order here. Nnamdi Asamoah, a free agent. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie now in Denver. In Bradley Fletcher at one cornerback spot, along with Kerry Williams at the other. Patrick Chung, Kenny Phillips signed to add competition, depth, talent to the safety positions. Your thoughts on the Eagles secondary as it looks today?
Well, you'd have to assume, based on what you just said, that those guys are probably going to start, or certainly they're competing. I guess we'll have to wait and see how the new coaching staff using Nate Allen, for instance. But I think that Fletcher and Williams, they're taller corners, which I'm in favor of. I like taller corners in this league now. There's a lot of taller receivers, and I think you have to match up, because otherwise they catch the ball over shorter corners, even if they're playing well. So Bradley Fletcher started a bit for the Rams, and then he got hurt. And I actually thought he played pretty well when he started. Kerry Williams, we knew he'd do well on free agency because corner is a premium position. Again, a good player, not a great player. If he was a great player, the Ravens would have re-signed him because great corners don't hit the market.
Would you say that, you know, the talk was Sean Smith and maybe trying to get Darrelle Revis? I mean, if the Eagles were to go into a game with Williams and Fletcher as their cornerbacks, how would you feel about that?
Again, I think you'd have to feel pretty good. Williams has been a starter for a number of years. Fletcher did start with the Rams. And look, the one thing you and I both know, Dave, you're not going to have all pros at every position. You're starting with a new coaching staff, a new approach. They'll play differently. Maybe this coaching staff does not believe in this press man as the previous one seemed to. It could be a whole different animal when we look at this defense, and my guess is it will be.
Your feelings on Chung and Phillips in the secondary at safety?
Well, Phillips is a good player if healthy, and that's the big caveat with Kenny Phillips. Kenny Phillips was a first-round pick. I think he's a quality NFL safety if healthy. I think Chung is fairly limited. Look, we know he lost his starting job in New England. To me, he's much more of a limited player, a box safety, as it were. So, again, it's competition. You know, Nate Allen is still a guy that a lot of people believe has the talent to be a starting safety. The question is, at this point, he's had a number of injuries. Can he, with a new coaching staff and a new approach, can he reach the level that his talent would suggest he can play to?
Greg, your feelings Connor, on Barwin, on Sopoaga, stopgap measures or players who are going to come in and make a difference?
Well, Sopoaga played nose for the most part in a pure 3-4 defense in San Francisco, but I think he can theoretically play what's called a one technique, a nose shade, in a 4-3 concept as well. He's a good player. The big issue with Sopoaga is how many snaps he's going to play, because he's a base personnel defensive tackle. He's not going to play in your nickel or dime. So it ultimately comes down to how many snaps he plays. Barwin, on the other hand, played two positions for Houston. He played the open side away from the tight end, which is the pass rush position, but then he also played the strong side linebacker where the tight end is. I think he's better playing the open side. I wouldn't call him a great pass rusher, but he's a relentless pass rusher, and he's a high motor, high energy guy, and that's what you're looking for when you're starting from scratch with a new coaching staff.
Greg, before we turn our attentions briefly to the draft, let's talk about the offensive side of the ball and adding James Casey. The vision is that he lines up all over the formation. The Eagles try to make Aaron Hernandez out of him. Is that possible?
He's not quite Aaron Hernandez, but I think he has that style of play. People may forget he caught over 100 balls at Rice, I believe, his last year. He's a very good receiver. He's not quite the athlete Hernandez is, but I think he can be used in multiple ways, and he can align all over the formation.
And then the Eagles also, on Friday, I guess gave up a little bit of late-round draft pick leverage when they swapped their sixth for Tampa Bay's seventh and received Aurelius Ben, a wide receiver. What to make of that move? Is this a roster filler, or is this somebody who can potentially come in and really help out the receivers?
Yeah, he's an interesting player, Dave, to me, because he was a second-round pick out of Illinois, and I liked him. And again, when I say I liked him, he's not going to be an elite number one receiver, but I thought he had a chance to be a quality NFL starting receiver, and I certainly don't know what happened in Tampa. He played with two coaching staffs. The previous coaching staff before Greg Schiano, it looked like he might have had a chance. Then Schiano came in, and it didn't work out, so I don't know what happened, but he's a big physical kid, and I think he's got a chance. Now, I don't know what that means for the Eagles. I don't know if that means that he fills the Jason Avant role. I don't know how they see him, but I think since they gave up very little, I think it's a worthwhile thing to do, because he was a second-round pick, and pretty much everybody at the time he came out, Dave, viewed him that way.
All right, Greg, let's turn our attention briefly here to the draft. All of the work the Eagles have done here means exactly what? Come April 25th.
Well, I think it all comes down to their feeling about Geno Smith. And if they believe Geno Smith is that guy, Dave, then they're going to draft him at 4, because they're going to need a quarterback. And if Chip Kelly and the organization believes he's that guy, then you have to take him. If they don't believe he's that guy, then they could go any number of ways. So that's really what it comes down to. It comes down very simply to what their view of Geno Smith is.
Your feeling on Geno Smith and what you know of Chip Kelly's offensive scheme?
Well, Chip Kelly's done a number of things offensively through the years. And his Oregon offense, which I studied closely, in my view, requires a quarterback who's a viable running threat. From what I'm told, when he was in New Hampshire, that was not what he did. So I think he's probably multiple with what he does offensively. I don't think Geno Smith is a true viable running threat. But again, that's not necessary to be a top quality NFL quarterback. It's still a passing league. I've studied Geno Smith. My view, which is irrelevant to Chip Kelly and Howie Roseman, I don't see Geno Smith as that guy at number 4. But again, if they do, then they're going to take him.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll find out. Greg Cosell, NFL Film Senior Producer, thank you very much for lending us your expertise. We will talk to you down the road, and of course, we will see you throughout draft weekend here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you.